Hour number two of Darren Donick and Chase here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson here with you today. We are in the process of trying to connect with David Schoenfeld, senior writer for ESPN.com. We're going to talk a little baseball with him. One of the things that he has been doing is voting for college baseball's all-time team, which is pretty interesting when you look at some of the guys that he features in there. But we'll talk to him about a number of things. Keep your fingers crossed. We're still trying to hook up with him. One thing that came up on Jason Stark's podcast that I was talking about, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but I really enjoy his. Of course, for years and years, Jason was a weekly guest of Darren and I's. I'm going to say for probably 10 to 12 consecutive years, maybe more than that, way back in like 2002. Spanning three stations, so we go way back. So I enjoy listening to his podcast that he puts together. It's called Starkville, not to be confused with Starkville, Mississippi. But one of the things they brought up in this return to play, and I hadn't really thought about it, is... Oh, in fact, so let's hold this thought, because David is on here with us. Wasn't sure if we were going to be able to hook up with him, but we've got him now. So David Schoenfeld, Field, is with us on 102.5 The Game. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for the invite. Appreciate it.
Well, let me start with something you just wrote about. You just like a lot of people these days, we're getting creative on some of the things to get people excited about, discussing about. Of course, college baseball is huge here in Nashville with the emergence in the last 10, 15 years of Vanderbilt's program. You put together your all-time college team. And so how much fun was that for you?
A lot of research, you know. I grew up in the 80s, which is when college baseball first kind of really became a big deal. ESPN started televising the College World Series. So, yeah, it was fun to kind of have a walk through memory lane, so to speak.
Yeah, and, of course, I remember that well, too. That was the first time I really learned much about college baseball. I used to watch the College World Series every summer on ESPN in the 80s and some of those great players that went on. But you had way more two-way players back then than you do now. You still have a few scattered here and there, but you point out some of the stats that people had were pretty amazing. You pointed out John Olerud, who everybody remembers as a great first baseman for a long time in the big leagues, but he was not only a great hitter in college, but an amazing pitcher. And there's others like that too. Dave Winfield, you look at some of the stats that he had in college as a hitter and a pitch, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, Dave Winfield. In fact, I think this still holds true. He was the only player who was drafted by MLB, NFL, and NBA. He didn't play football in college, but he did play basketball at the University of Minnesota. But yeah, plus he was a two-way player and led the Golden Gophers to the College World Series back, whatever year that was, 72 or 73. Yeah, I mean, certainly one of the all-time great athletes. You never hear him mentioned, like, right? You hear Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders, but Winfield, he could do it all. John Olerud, I'm from Seattle. I actually saw him play in high school. But, yeah, his sophomore year, probably the greatest year a college baseball player has ever had. He was 15-0, 2-point-something ERA, and what did he hit, .464? I know that was back in the era when – you know, the aluminum bats were especially rocket-like, but, you know, he went straight to the majors, never even played in the minors. So he was one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. So have you allowed yourself, David, to get excited about a return to play yet? Or are you still kind of holding your breath a little bit that they can get all of these details worked out?
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit like most of us, you know, who are baseball fans, as much as we love the sport. Sure, we want to see it in some form, even with empty ballparks and the like. But, yeah, there's still a lot of things here. You know, we're seeing some players opt out and elect not to play this season, and that's absolutely reasonable and understandable. I assume we'll see a few more. But, yeah, the biggest concern is once these players start congregating and getting their summer spring training going – and they're hanging out together, are we going to see the rates of the, you know, positive tests for the virus spike up? We don't know. They're going to be tested. Their temperatures are going to be taken. They're going to try to social distance. Most teams will have two different workout facilities, their regular MLB stadium and maybe some kind of college place nearby, you know, so that'll help create more social distancing. But, yeah, that's the unknown. What's going to happen when these guys all get together?
Well, one thing that dawns on me is baseball is such a game of habits, right? Your routine, yep. The idiosyncrasies that we always love to follow about our favorite players, you know, the batting stance and what they do between pitches every time, like clockwork. And some of those habits, right, are going to be compromised here just because of it. We're going to have to relearn some things. It's going to be pretty inconvenient for some.
Yeah, no doubt. Anybody who's watched some of these games from Korea on ESPN where they've had, you know, they try to keep players out of the dugout. So that's supposedly one of the protocols. If you're not in the game, you're sitting in the stand. So that'll be weird. But, yeah, the big one for baseball players, no spitting.
Yeah.
You know.
In fact, we just had an interview yesterday, David, with Kurt Casale, a catcher for the Reds who lives here. And that was what he brought it up on his own. He said, that's the one thing I do it after almost every pitch, and I'm going to have to train myself to do otherwise.
Well, and anybody who's like been in a big league dugout after a game and you see the whole floor littered with sunflower seeds, so I assume those will be outlawed, right? Because you got to spit a sunflower seed. So we joke, but yeah, baseball players are absolutely creatures of habit. You know, from the time they step into the park 4 hours before game time, a lot of these guys follow the same routine. They're not going to be able to do that, you know, so that'll be interesting to see how they do adapt to that.
Talking to David Schoenfield from ESPN, senior writer, talking a little baseball. David, thinking about the 60-game season, you've got everybody tied for first basically on July 23rd. It's going to create something different than we've ever seen before. I know we're all sad that, you know, we're not going to see more games, but what could be the upside of this? I mean, you might, there's just not going to be a whole lot of separation, you would think, after 1 month, and so we could see a very exciting stretch run here.
Yeah, I think that's the positive way to look at it, is it is going to be fun. You know, if this was a regular season and every team's tied for first place on late July, we'd be like, oh, this is kind of cool, right? So, yeah, it is going to be a mad scramble. I think the teams that are bad, the Orioles and the Tigers and the Marlins, they're not really, they probably don't have a shot, but almost everybody else does. So it's going to be fun because we're going to see a couple surprising teams, just a law of averages. There's going to be some team that starts off 15-5 and stays in the race. So that's going to be fun. Every game, it's going to matter more, you know. So it'll be some interesting strategic decisions there, especially with how managers handle their bullpens. So if we do get the season underway and we actually do play baseball, I'm going to at least enjoy that mad scramble to get to the playoffs.
We're talking to David Schoenfield, senior writer of ESPN, at ESPN. I should say, I read your piece on top 60 storylines for a 60-game MLB season, and obviously one that we will pay attention to here is Mookie Betts being in a Dodgers uniform, leaving the Red Sox. Now, who knows how long he's actually going to be there once he signs his big deal, but how big of a boost does an already talented Dodgers team get now that they have Mookie Betts? Obviously, they're the favorites to go for it in 60 games.
Yeah, no doubt. They were probably already the best team without Mookie. Now you add one of the top five players in baseball to your lineup, makes your defense better. You know, I know the Las Vegas odds, they're the favorite with, I believe, the Yankees are number two. That makes sense. Both rosters are pretty loaded. So whether he stays there long term, I would say the economic fallout from this probably makes it more likely that he returns to the Dodgers, because I think there's going to be some teams that aren't going to be in on the bidding on him over the winter because they're going to want to save money after losing money this year. But I'll tell you what, after seeing him in spring training, he looks like he was born to wear that Dodgers uniform, right? I mean, it's already a classic uniform. You add Mookie Betts in that uniform, I could see him staying with the Dodgers on a long-term deal.
You know, one thing that I've been thinking about and we've talked about too is there was so much heat in spring training on the Astros, and rightfully so.
Yep.
They brought it on themselves. But now I think there's a lot of heat on baseball as a whole just because of how these negotiations went to try and get back. So once they start playing the games, how much of that heat do you think returns for the Astros?
Yeah, that was right. The number one storyline, I think, you know, in a normal season. How do the Astros respond? How do the fans respond? And more importantly, how do opposing pitchers respond? There's not going to be fans, at least in most parks. But how will pitchers respond? Are they going to just, okay, let's just get through this season? In fact, one of the new bylaws is no brawling, although I don't know how you enforce that. If you if your emotions go, they
go,
right? Yeah, good luck with that one. I don't know. I still think we're going to see some high and tight pitches to some of those Houston batters.
The team that I've followed since I was a kid, the Atlanta Braves, I think a lot of people put them in that next tier category. You have the favorites, and then you have those teams that people are going to be watching. But how would you view the Braves, Ronald Acuna Jr., their young stud that's coming back? But how would you look at them as they start a 60-game season?
Yeah, no, they're really good. In fact, I was just looking at their roster. A lot of depth, a lot of versatility in the lineup. I mean, Acuna, you know, he obviously has the ability to take his game to another level. You have an MVP candidate in Freddie Freeman. A lot of options for the rotation. So I was down at spring training right before everything got canceled. Saw Felix Hernandez pitch. I wouldn't count on a comeback, but he was having a really good spring. He could be their number five starter. Plus, they got all those other arms. So, yeah, I think the Nationals are really good, but losing Anthony Rendon is a huge blow. So I think the Braves, I would put them number one to win that division with the Nationals just a hair behind them.
But don't you think with some of the older pitchers that are on some of these teams that this shorter season benefits them? Because how many times do you see an older pitcher that they lose it by the time they get to June? Well, now you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I think it's actually it's an advantage for the Nationals. Not that like a Steven Strasburg is old, but he threw a lot of innings last year. We saw the Red Sox starters really struggle at the outset of 2019 after pitching a lot of innings in October. So, you know, the time off is a big boost for Strasburg and Max Scherzer. Scherzer, you know, ended last year with some health problems. So, in the Nationals case, they benefit, I think, more than any team from the layoffs. Now they can just go all out and not worry about the innings on those starters.
As we let you go, David, one thing that I was listening to in Jason Stark's podcast was, should you be able to trade players? I mean, under the circumstances here, it's going to be very difficult to get through the season. We know the teams, they're going to have to make some sacrifices here. I guess they're not in a bubble like presumably the NBA and NHL guys will be, where they're literally separated from their families. But I cannot imagine being traded during these circumstances. That would be tough, but I guess I don't know if there's a way around it. You have to, you know, you're trying to keep as much in place as you can, but what about that?
You know, that's a really good point. You know, I had thought about that from a baseball perspective, but you're right. But from a family perspective, it's hard enough what the players are going to have to be going through, those that are married and have children and whatnot. But, yeah, now thrown into the mix, oh, yeah, you're 1 month with this team, and now August 18th you're traded somewhere else. You got to find somewhere to live. What do you do with your family, you know, aside from all the other logistical issues baseball players have to deal with? Yeah, that's a good point. Unfortunately, their trades are not outlawed. There is a trade deadline, so we will see some trades during the season.
Well, let's just hope we get to that point where we can discuss it.
That
would mean we're progressing.
That means there's baseball.
David, thanks a lot for spending.
All right, guys.
Thanks for spending some time with us, and carry on. We'll talk to you down the road.
You too. Take care.
All right, David Schoenfield covers baseball for ESPN, a senior writer. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more. We're going to bring up that trade question again and just sort of ask the question, how would you do this? Is this right? And could you have a two-month season not allowed to make a trade? What would that be like? Stay tuned. We're coming back.